We are in Genesis 33, but we need to back up some.
Start over.
No, it's map time. It's map time. So here's a map of the Holy Land, and they put an insert in there. The Dead Sea, and Sea of Galilee must be up north, some more than that. So, where did Isaac settle? Where Isaac settled was down in Beersheba. And just to give you an orientation real quick, there's Jerusalem. So that's way far south. In our day, we'd call that the desert and the Negev, way far south. And
is where he was?
That's Isaac?
Isaac.
Okay.
Where Isaac was settling.
Okay.
There is, Hebron is there, still way far south, about halfway between Beersheba and Jerusalem is Hebron. So this was the area where Abraham and Isaac spent a lot of time.
Where's Egypt?
Egypt is over
way
here.
Over there. Okay.
When Jacob fled, there's the insert here that shows the Dead Sea is about that big in the insert. So he fled way up here, way off the map. And that is where he spent 20 years serving Laban. When he came back, the red arrows show the path of, approximate path of Jacob. So he comes back and Mahanaim is there and Peniel is there across the river. And then he's going to meet Esau. And Esau is coming from down here. Esau lives in the land of Edom. That would be a later designation. But the land of Edom is down here, to the west of the Dead Sea. Okay? South of Jerusalem, west of the Dead Sea. And so the servants that go from Jacob go all the way down, and they meet up with Esau, and Esau's now coming with 400 men. And Jacob's a bit nervous. So you know the lead-in, how he sent gifts to Esau, and he stayed behind. And then finally it was time to cross over and meet his brother. And that's where we pick up in Genesis chapter 33. Verse 1.
Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Rachel and the two female servants.
Okay, so the children are split up. Leah, Rachel, the ones born of this servant, the ones born of that servant, and splits them up so that Esau will not be able to catch and kill all of them. That's what's in his mind at this point. Now I want to ask you a question as we go through the chapter, periodically asking, are they reconciled? Do they trust each other? And we'll see how it develops. And on the surface, one thing, but is it all the way through? So, and he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all.
Women, children first.
And when, just a reminder,
he's a warrior.
Just a reminder, when they get into the promised land under Joshua, and it's time to divide up the territory, in the center of Israel were the Joseph tribes, Benjamin, Ephraim, Manasseh, in the center, surrounded by the other tribes, so in the more protected position. It's consistent on through.
So Joseph's always protected.
Runs in the family.
Well, it's part of the family heritage. Verse 3.
He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother.
Ah, now you see, he has not put the women and children in front and him in the back. No. He goes on ahead and bows down 7 times to his brother, 7 number of completion. Genesis 33.
Maybe he put the women and children first to show.
No, he put
the weakness.
He
like,
put them behind him,
right?
So
but I'm
that
saying, like, in front
so
of
that
the
favored could escape,
right,
if necessary.
So his men were with him at the front?
He had other men in front, and Esau has seen all of these things coming, mm-hmm, and passes them by and keeps on to meet Jacob. Mm-hmm. So let me lay this out for you. Time to do some erasing. My eraser. And it works best as a picture. Okay. Oh, dry it out a little bit. And it doesn't suggest itself to you until you trace it out as a picture and ask exactly what. So Jacob, Esau. Now, behind Jacob is 4 groups: Rachel, Leah, servant, and the children. Now, I've reversed that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to say anything. I
we
just
knew
thought
what
it
you
was. Well, I thought maybe they, you know, did
Rachel
a dance and flipped.
Yeah, right.
They did the hokey pokey and they turned themselves around.
It is an old song.
And
where's
and
Jacob?
Esau's coming.
Jacob's
and
first.
Jacob's going to meet him. But who's behind Esau?
400
men.
No.
No, not quite so many, because he said some
home with the sheep. Plus 400. Who else is behind Esau?
The men Jacob sent out with the gifts.
Ah.
Good.
I forgot.
There's these groups back here. Okay.
Oh, so he's being squished.
Now, if something goes wrong,
yeah,
and Esau knows this, this is basic strategy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, so Jacob and Esau are going to meet. Do they trust each other?
No.
Nope. Not at this
point. Not a bit. We go on. Verse 4. Oh, wait. Verse 3 we finished up with. Bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came to his brother. Verse 4.
But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept.
Well, that's very nice.
So he didn't trust him, but he was going to just throw caution to the wind.
Wait.
You make that first move.
And Esau knows that Jacob is nervous at meeting him, so he's the one who gets to set the tone. And here's the Tony's setting. Do they trust each other?
No.
Not sure at this point, right?
I'd say no.
There's open displays of affection. Verse 5.
And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, he said, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant."
And your servant is a politeness. Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. So, this is the greeting, okay? It's safe, they can come.
They saw the hug.
Do they trust each other?
No. Mm. They're still getting more united.
There's iffiness in the trust at this point.
Right. Feeling each other out.
But, verse 8.
Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord."
All this company that I met. What would those be? Oh, those would be the group that's behind him. What do you mean by that? To find favor in the sight of my Lord.
Meaning him, right?
They're testing each other out. Huh?
Nothing. It's a lowercase L. Yeah. For those listening, it's a lowercase L. Yeah.
Yeah. My Lord.
My Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasantry again.
And Esau notices at this point, he's got a large group of people behind him.
I think he noticed before.
And, you know, what are they? They can be gifts then again.
Suicide bombers.
Then again, if this goes wrong, they are behind you. Yeah. That's very clever. And analyze
clever
it militarily.
Jacob can be.
Okay. Verse 9, but Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Verse 10.
Jacob said, "No, please. If I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me."
Ah. Okay. There's a few things to analyze there, and some very sweet things. If I found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. And in accepting the present, then there is an obligation to somebody who has given you a present. If you accept it in that culture,
that's a big white flag.
You got to be at peace. Okay? And that will come in later in dealings with others. But there is more.
In the face of God is Elohim.
"For I've seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God." Well, if you see the face of God, you see God's favor in this idiom. And to be able to see God's favor when you're not sure that there is favor, and you've been accepted by the one you were not sure of, that is like, in a certain way, it is like seeing the face of God in his mercy. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have accepted me. So verse 11.
"Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it.
Okay. And you know, this is, he's pushing the gift, because what is implied in accepting the gift?
Peace.
Peace. Okay. Do they trust each other?
No.
Maybe just a little bit. Okay.
And obviously, Jacob just is really pushing the fact that he's coming in peace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But his past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember the last.
Now.
It's very hard. It's easy to forgive. It's hard to forget.
Now we go on because there is more to this. Verse 12. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." Okay. Verse 13.
But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die."
Oh, really? All the flocks?
No.
Do they trust each other?
No.
Verse 14.
"So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the flocks and the herds before me and the pace of the children until I come to my Lord and serve."
Seir?
Seir.
Where is Seir? I don't see it on the map. That's down in the land of Edom. Okay? And where are they? Are they near Edom? Down here?
No.
They're way up here. There. Okay. And so Jacob is saying, "No, you go ahead, go, and I will eventually get to Seir. I have to move slowly." Strong indications that they're still on their guard, or Jacob is totally. Verse 15.
And Esau said, "Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord."
Do they trust each other?
Absolutely not.
No.
Why does Esau want to leave some of his men in the camp with Jacob?
He can get back to him. What's going on?
We don't know. In fact, if Jacob accepts this, he could not wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, and why would he need him? Because he's got his men that he had sent on ahead with to meet Esau. They're all back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that... I would think Jacob would be a little suspicious of the offer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's very suspicious. And, okay. Where are
we
now?
They've got it in different places on the Bible map. Mm-hmm. I think they know.
So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. Verse 17.
Jacob, however, went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called
Succoth.
Succoth.
Succoth. It means booths. And there is a feast of booths or Succoth in the fall of the year that the Jewish people observe. A place of booths, temporary dwelling shelters. But what else does he build there?
Distillery.
A house?
Place for himself,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so is Succoth, is that south near Seir? Where would Succoth be on this map? Right there.
Not very far
from there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's near the Jordan, in the Jordan Valley, on the east side of the Jordan Valley, and it is before there is another little range of hills and mountains, and nice place to stay for a while. He goes to Succoth. Okay. and stays there for a while because he's gotten from Paddan Aram to the Holy Land, to a place where it's good pasture, good for the flocks and herds, etc., etc., and he's there safely. Time to rest for a little. Verse 18.
And Jacob came safely to the city of,
Shechem.
Which is in the land of Canaan, on his way from Paddan Aram, and he camped before the city.
Okay.
Period.
Shechem used to be called, our Old Testament teacher in college called it the belly button of the land.
No. Oh, really?
Shechem.
Oh.
Is he heading towards Seir?
Yeah.
Yeah, slowly.
Wow. Where's Seir?
Well, oh, he went oh.
down there.
A little bit.
Is he heading towards Seir? No, he is not.
Roundabout way.
Do they trust each other?
Absolutely not.
He doesn't want to be too close to him.
Right.
Yep.
Even after all those gifts, still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knew.
Yeah, and so you can be good friends as long as you aren't anywhere near each other.
Arms distance.
I feel like
acquaintances,
brothers sometimes. Be good friends so long as you're not.
Yeah, so that is the first stage of his entering back into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, and up at Shechem, which is, just to reorient you again, on this map, Jerusalem, Sea of Galilee. So it's midway through the land. Chapter 34. Oh, wait, no, not done.
19.
Verse 19.
For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent.
Okay. 100 pieces of silver. Okay. There he erected an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. Means God, the God of Israel. El, God, Elohe, God of Israel. So now we're done with chapter 33, and we move on to 34. Verse 1.
Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land.
Okay. So she's going to go look around and spend time with the ladies there.
She probably went to the well, right?
Could be. Wherever they
wherever
do
you
their
hear his
doings.
Plate.
Just want to get out of the tent.
And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he seized her and lay with her and humiliated her.
Uh-oh.
So this is Shechem, the son of Hamor.
So the city's Shechem, and his name is Shechem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 3.
And his soul was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her.
To what?
That's how he shows. So he violates her, but then falls in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Don't you know that's how you're supposed to be treated? That attitude.
Yeah, some guys think that way.
So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl for my wife." How's that going to turn out?
Mm-hmm.
Not well.
And the women don't have much say about it.
Verse 5.
Now Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter Dinah, but his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came.
Yeah, it's better when you have your 11 sons around you if you're going to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. Verse 7.
Now Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done.
Yeah. An outrageous thing in Israel. So among the identity of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, this is not to be done. Disgraceful thing in Israel. We don't live that way. Right. Who are these people? Verse 8.
But Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife."
Oh, what? Make marriages with us. Give us your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. And then they would become one people. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Is that a good idea?
No.
Not really. Verse 10.
So you shall dwell with us and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade in it and acquire possessions for yourselves in it.
Yeah. And this does a little step to the land shall be open to you. Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give." Verse 12.
Ask me for as great a bride price and gift as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife.
There is, by the way, something that's not being said so far that I'm going to point out when we get to it, and you'll go, oh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 13, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. Verse 14.
They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us."
Only on this condition will we agree with you that you will become as we are by every male among you being circumcised.
Always thinking.
Yeah.
The plot.
Thickens.
The plot. This is the plot. Verse 16.
Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's the become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone.
I'm not going to play their game.
And there's still that something that's not being said that I point out to you later, and you'll go, Okay. Verse 18.
Their words pleased Hamor and Hamor's son, Shechem.
Mm-hmm. And the young men did not delay to do the thing because the young man did not delay to do the thing because he was delighted in Jacob's daughter. Now he was the most honored of all his father's house.
So he's a rapist, and he's the most honored in his father's house.
Well, that sounds about right sometimes. Yep.
Yep.
So he's not really...
He can't do any wrong.
He can't do any wrong.
He gets away with everything.
He's not being circumcised for...
the right reason.
The right reason. It's just because he wants what he wants. And
right.
That's the
only he's
going to
go with the motion, yeah.
But that's not the reason. Verse 20.
That probably hurts.
Yeah.
You got it.
I would think.
Especially at that age.
Keep on.
20. So 20. Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying,
mm-hmm. These men are at peace with us. Let them dwell in the land and trade in it, for behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as wives, and let us give them our daughters.
But beware
22.
Beware the rusty
scalpel.
22.
Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised.
Mm-hmm. And they continue to press the case. Mm-hmm. Will not their livestock, their property, and all their beasts be ours as one people? You know, strengthens mm-hmm. them as a people. Only let us agree with them, and they will dwell with us. Okay? Verse 24.
All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised.
Yeah. All who went in and out at the gate of the city, and at the gate of the city is where the men sit and talk. It's like that place, every town I've been in, there's this place where the men go for breakfast and coffee and sit and talk.
Tavern.
But
or the
well,
pancake
no.
house.
McDonald's or Hardee's or
it's a nice day they sit outside.
But that's where they go to sit and talk. The men of honor, the men who are respected at the gate of the city, that's where they gather. And they're respected and they respect one another. And so all those who are in and out at the city gate are included in this discussion and decision. And if all of them are included, everybody else falls in line. This is the informal leadership of the city.
It must have been a small population. I mean, how would you gather up?
Well, it's not a formal gathering legislative body.
But I mean, how would you make sure that they were all circumcised? How would you accomplish that?
Maybe it was just the
let's keep on reading.
Get through the pain.
One more verse.
And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore.
Okay. It's how you know who is and who isn't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's the completion of the plot.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've read it before and saw it coming.
Oh, yeah, you have heard it.
The men of Shechem didn't see it coming.
Right.
They got too trusting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Greedy is yeah. what they got.
Right.
They let that kind of blind them.
Yeah. So it was not only sex, it was also greed.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 26, here comes that other part.
They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left.
Wait, what?
She
was held prisoner? Or?
She was not being returned to her family.
Mm. So it was just a formality to say they...
Yeah.
Later on, there would have been marriage and blah, 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 blah.
But they were going to keep her until they agreed.
Right. Yeah.
Right. She was kidnapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, don't you want to come to an agreement? You know, your sister's in the house here.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so they are dealing very deceitfully with Jacob and his sons. It is not an honest good faith proposal. It is a, we have her. Do you want us to be married? Or what?
Do you want to be a part of this, or do you just want
to... You can leave.
Yeah.
Anytime.
You're not getting her back.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Of course, Jacob's sons did not deal honestly with them either. Let's make them sore.
Because they
set the playing field, and Jacob's sons did what they had to do to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they set the thing in motion.
The traffic.
They set the thing in motion. Jacob's sons answered. They started the fight.
Yeah.
Jacob's sons finished it. And you don't...
They were pretty clever.
Mm-hmm. But they had to... When you have a member of your family being held captive and hostage...
You turn all Liam Neeson.
You think of someone in a hostage situation, they always talk so sweet to them. Oh, come on out. Let's talk about this. You're fine. No, nothing's going to happen to you. I mean, you know.
But... when you have a member of your family held hostage and captive, the rules are changed. You are not obligated to be completely straightforward. They are holding a member of your family hostage. And they set it in motion, going in that pattern. And... how do you get her back? Do you want her to be married to this guy? This rapist? Do you want your people to become one with this city that is ruled by a guy who will not rebuke his son who is a rapist?
But whose rules are these? Was that pleasing to God, what they did?
Well, Jacob wasn't happy about it.
Jacob was not happy about it. But
Jacob's God.
Wait a minute.
You said the rules change because they set it in motion, but that's man's rules.
I'm pointing out aspects of this that people do not all that often notice. And so they assume... Dinah is back at home, and then the negotiations are going on, and Jacob's sons were just simply bloodthirsty. But
there is this added factor
that they're holding their sister hostage.
No, I get why they did what they did.
Yeah.
But
well, think about today. What's politically correct totally goes against what God says. So the rules of today are
but how
wrong anyway.
How you deal with somebody else if they're pulling that.
Very wise. And careful.
Now with Esau, Jacob is honest. He deals straightforwardly. Esau, he doesn't trust, and so doesn't want men from Esau's company coming along with, because he doesn't trust him. But he's given a gift, and he's going to stand by that gift, and the gift is received, and Esau is going to behave accordingly to, you know, the normal rules of if you've received a gift and accepted it. They get to Shechem, and this guy rapes Dinah and keeps her in his house, and then says, I want to be honorably married to her. You guys should intermarry with us and become one people.
Well, that was against God's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, yeah.
So
an easy way of coming through the back
door. So there is a mix of. There are reasons why they did it, and they're sinful. Granted, they're sinful. But there were reasons, and you go back and forth. It's a both and. Instance. So they take Dinah, set her free, took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away.
So I was in the kitchen
We got more.
Singing that song in my head all morning.
We got more to go. Verse 27.
The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled.
Okay. So much for Shechem. The whole thing. And the men of Shechem, they were okay with the guy Shechem doing what he did.
Mm-hmm. They were okay.
That
with
was
him
the moral character of the city.
So, yeah, that was like nothing. That's
yeah.
just how things are done.
So yeah. Yeah. They might have been
so it's just
afraid
fine.
Of the father too.
Mm-hmm. So everybody is guilty in this one.
Yeah.
Verse 28.
They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields.
Okay. Now don't mess with them. Mm-hmm. Verse 29.
And all their wealth, all their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses.
Okay. So Israel is, Jacob named Israel, his 11 sons and flocks and herds and servants, and now added to Israel is the little ones of Shechem. They're now a part of Israel.
I suppose you can kind of look at it two ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have taken their sister and just left. And
seems like,
no, they couldn't have.
Who would take care of
them? Because he would have gone after them.
Well, they were dead.
They would have had to, 11 of them, fight their way into the city and against all the men of Shechem to get to their sister.
After
they slaughtered the men, they could have left.
Right, taken her and left instead of plundering and taking.
What would have happened to the city?
Well,
somebody else would have come and plundered it.
Probably.
Would you rather
so
be plundered by Israel or by pagans?
So they were kind of protecting the women and children by taking them with them. And they would need whatever they had in their houses to
take care of all this extra people now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did the women of the city think that what Shechem did was perfectly fine?
I doubt it.
They were living in a culture where that was okay to do to you.
Yeah.
They're going to get a big fat lesson otherwise now.
Yeah,
no, girls, this is wrong.
Okay.
You aren't property.
But then there's verse 30.
Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you've
got to tread carefully. And he rebukes them.
Way to go, guys.
Maybe they should have honorably taken up swords and fought against Shechem. Maybe they should have trusted God to see them through and survive this battle. And so Jacob has some rebuke for his sons. Hamor had no rebuke for his son.
See the difference in character in the fathers.
Yeah.
But
they
still
said.
One said sin led to another.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like a little bit of an.
But they said, should he treat our sister like a prostitute?
Well, you know, hell hath no fury than a brother who's protecting his sister.
And, yeah, she's got 11 brothers. Yeah, so she sometimes acts carelessly.
Yeah.
because she's got 11 brothers.
Mm. I would be like, oh, I didn't know you guys cared so much. Of course, I don't have any brothers.
Okay.
I doubt if she was thinking that. I'm sure she was very humiliated.
Mm. Right.
Right, now, do they look at her?
So often
like,
you hear
damaged goods, or you know, do they look at her unfavorably, or
and
you know what I mean?
Are we told anything about this?
No.
Hmm.
Maybe she never got permission to go and meet with the ladies of the town. It just said she went out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she shouldn't have gone unattended or unaccompanied.
Yeah, area she would have taken a brother or
somebody
with her to.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go in a neighborhood I didn't know.
No, she's got 11 brothers. She's she's sure she can do whatever she wants because she's got 11 brothers, and
not if they're on the field.
They'll go get whoever does her any harm.
Well, maybe that's why she went.
They
did. Probably would have stopped her. She was like, oh, they're not around stuff. I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to go check this place out.
While they were out in the field,
she took off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, more details.
Not that anyone...
That are not specifically stated.
...is to blame for rape.
There's a book called The Red Tent. Do you know
that? Yes, okay. I've heard of that.
I read it a long time ago, but I don't... I'm just looking to see what it talks about.
It's been years
about.
Ago.
I'll have to read it. I've heard of it.
It's about,
it
says
again.
It's a first-person narrative that tells the story of Dinah, daughter of Jacob and Leah, sister of Joseph. It's obviously a novel, but she's a minor character in the Bible, but the author has broadened her story.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, it just throws in one of the...
Okay. We're pushing this from the details as far as... Now, this is pretty likely some of these
customs,
actual things that surround the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then you write historical fiction and you're making up stuff that's nowhere.
Well, and they're calling this a novel, so that's
right.
Different from historical fiction,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But back to the map. Yep. Verse 35, or chapter 35, verse 1.
Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.
Okay. Where then is Bethel? Back to the map. To reorient Jerusalem. There's Beersheba way in the south. Shechem there in the north. So Jerusalem, Shechem, Bethel.
Oh,
about two-thirds of the way down to Jerusalem from Shechem.
Getting closer to Seir.
It is near Mizpah, where there were certain things that happened. And, okay. So Bethel is getting closer and closer back to Jerusalem and south of there.
Is Esau still down there waiting for his brother to...
What do you think? Is he waiting?
He knows.
Yeah.
Well, he could probably travel as fast as he wants. He doesn't have the women and children and livestock and
everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, did he really think Jacob... Did Jacob ever mean to go down to Seir at all?
Would you have?
Well, I don't know. It depends if...
Do they trust each other?
They still don't trust each other. So it's almost like they've smoothed it over, but the relationship will never really truly be fixed.
I mean, it's not fixed now. The present day. The descendants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True.
What's the full name for Herod? Herod the Idumean.
Yeah.
Idumean. Half Edomite, half Israelite. An Idumean. And so Edom, presumer to the crown, and I see him, but now, not now, I behold him, but not near. A star will rise in Jacob. He will crush the head of Edom.
They were mostly destroyed, most of the Edomites.
Mostly. And there is a one set of passages that says complete and total destruction, and there's another that says a remnant claimed by God to be his people.
So Edomites are descendants of Esau?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That will come into play when the people of Israel are traveling into the Holy Land. And God says, go through, but do not make war against them because they are your brothers. Okay, where are we? Verse 2.
So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments.
Well, wait a minute. Jacob and his 11 sons and Dinah, who among them has foreign gods?
All the foreign women and children.
Yes. All of those who became part of his household.
Right. Yeah. Well, Rachel sitting on them.
Rachel was. We don't know what she did afterward.
They left him behind, didn't they?
Put him away.
And make sure Rachel's standing.
Yeah. What is he going to do with them? Put him away. There is more to this, more details. Verse 3.
Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone.
Yeah. It's time for focus your devotion and your religious thoughts, your thoughts of faith, turn them all to God. Pull them back from anything else that you've let them wander to, and go and devote yourself to God there at Bethel with me. Verse 4.
So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem.
Which is really interesting.
The rings in there. You didn't burn them.
Terebinth tree.
They're gold.
Oak.
Yeah.
They're gold.
Melt them down.
So, gold, silver, the rings in their ears. What's that all about?
I don't know.
Well, ladies, do the rings in your ears have decorations on them? Some of them. Rings in the ears, could they have been crafted with the images of the gods or inscriptions to the gods?
Right.
And maybe if it's a god of sex, you inscribe that, and that's now take those out. You do not want those.
Don't pierce your ears.
But this is focused on anything that is a devoted thing to other gods. And he takes them and buries them. Where does he bury them?
Under a terebinth.
Under a terebinth
tree.
Or oak, okay.
It's not an
where?
Oak.
The terebinth.
But yeah. Where? Where?
At Shechem.
At Shechem. Why at Shechem?
He's leaving the gods behind.
That's
dead.
A city of those other gods. Of other gods. It's a dead city. Give them dead gods to a dead city. Walk away.
It's a tree that's of the cashew family, similar to a pistachio. Mm-hmm. And you get turpentine from it.
Why did they call it an oak?
Because it's a bad translation. I don't know.
It says terebinth in mine.
Yeah, sometimes translated as oak. The Hebrew word alon means oak, and the words may be related. Mm-hmm. Elah. Elah is the terebinth.
Okay.
Oh.
We want to go through verse 8.
Okay. Means oak.
Through verse 8. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So what Jacob was worried about, the inhabitants of the land gathering together against him.
God wouldn't allow.
God provided that there was a terror from God on them, and they let them through. Verse 6.
And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is a land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him.
Okay. So, where I showed you Bethel, that's also called Luz. Mm-hmm. And
didn't we hear that name before? Earlier?
Luz?
When he was heading out?
Luz.
He came to Luz and
okay.
camped there by the city and
okay.
put his head on a stone.
Had a dream.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Verse 7.
There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother.
Okay. What does Bethel mean?
City of God.
City of God. And El Bethel, God of the city of God. Okay, God of the city of God. And verse 8.
Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bakuth.
Okay.
Alon Bakuth.
Mine says oak here, too.
Means oak of weeping. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse? Oh, back when Jacob had to flee and Rebekah sent her nurse with Jacob. And now she's been on this journey. She's almost back home and she dies. And it's a oak of weeping.
But Rebekah's not with them.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's with Isaac still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why would she send her nurse?
To tend to Jacob, maybe cook and sweep up after him. You know, men. He's a bachelor. But that's where we finish for the day.